support that we provide to his questions. Chair Martin declared that we, as we are listening to questions and discussion, and we are still impressed by the details and questions that are penetrating of the OCS committee, our local government of Costa. So we hope that this presentation should be able to indicate the support that SADA provides to his parents. And also indicate clearly that one thing that is very important to indicate is that the executive of SADA is likely made up of the various areas of different parties. And that gives us the opportunity to have a ground picture of what's happening on the ground. And since the inception of the new leadership of SADA, there has been an attempt to improve the functionality of SADA and to ensure that we provide proper support to different municipalities. The key is that because we remain as a challenge, the fact that the executive is not in charge of SADA. So we provide, we don't have the primitive authority over municipalities, but we do support, advocate on behalf of municipalities. But again, we also are part of the hub that creates policy in relation to the challenge that are faced by municipalities. We are going to provide the service that we have a first step, and Mr. Ruben, one of the officials, will present on our behalf, and therefore we'll be ready to take questions and discussions after he has presented the report. But we hope that we will be able to fulfill the expectations of the committee.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Councillor.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chair, and good afternoon to the members. Committee and my fellow colleagues. Just to maybe indicate the title of the slightly misleading, just to indicate that we will focus more in the presentation on the hands-on support that we as SADA provide to our members and some of the things that have an impact in the sector. So it is not a comprehensive presentation. We are not going to repeat the coordinated efforts that we do with COFTA or with Treasury. I think those have been well covered. We just try to zoom into some of the key areas of support that we as SADA provide to our membership. It's important, I think, to reflect firstly on the strategy as our deputy chairperson has indicated, the strategy that the NEC of SADA has adopted since it came into office in 2011. In particular, looking at the three apex priorities that we wish to make an impact on as local government, organized local government. Make sure that local government has an appropriate policy and legislative framework, some of the things part of the government is reflected on, the review of the fiscal and financial management framework that the FSC touched on, as well as improved municipal capacity to deliver on our developmental mandate. And those are largely the three areas that we focus on in terms of support to municipalities. Now, breaking it down into some very specific areas of support. Firstly, with regard to the LPSAT priority, and again, not going to repeat what the department has indicated, but just to say that we certainly have assisted and advised municipalities continually with regard to the assignment of the human settlement funds, and in particular, assignment agreements that must be undertaken currently with the problem. We are currently also liaising with HESCOM regarding a framework agreement which is historic for the local government sector to address municipal areas where HESCOM is distributed. Members would recall this discussion during the local government week in 2013. With regard to the enhancement of good governance, there have been guidelines developed for adopting the responsibilities of elected office bearers, municipal managers, practical guidelines for establishment of impact and functioning, and more importantly, workshops that have been undertaken in all nine provinces since 2011 to capacitate municipalities and the councillors in terms of their oversight role and strengthening that particular in conjunction with the Department of the Governance, Treasury, and also the FSC as part of the We have also assisted municipalities draft as a reference to all those impacts as well as impact as a shared service, and that will come through very clearly in the chart that will indicate the current status. On the separation of functions, the differentiated model of accountability and oversight, SADA has put in place a very clear guideline for our members and major cities such as Johannesburg, Kwane, and Kuleni, those are for implementing the separation of power model, which also was the statute in the last couple of weeks. There's also a guideline for restructuring of municipalities, which we will take forward with the Department of Government, particularly hands-on support requested by municipalities, legal opinions, workshops, guidelines, seminars, all of those we undertake in all of the key areas of support for our members. Just on the oversight structure, it was a particular question that was posed in relation to the strength of the oversight structure in place at the moment, and that is sort of a snapshot as really as of the end of last year in terms of where we are at with regard to the number of municipalities with impact, audit committees, internal audit units. I must just indicate on the free space number is 24 municipalities, 19 impacts, but impacts are fully functional in the province. Because some municipalities are sharing the service. So in fact, 5 municipalities should be sharing that service, that is why it's expected to go to 5, but all municipalities have to. So for us now, I think the move, as Salga, our focus has been how do we now strengthen the relationship or the interrelationship between these structures, the audit committee, internal audit units, and impact to make sure that they better and more effective oversight comes. And not just focusing on these numbers. Whilst they are important, and it was important in the establishment phase of impact, now we need to move towards effective accountability and oversight, and especially the relationship between these stuff. Of course, on anti-corruption, a lot of work has been done, also in collaboration with the Department of Public Governance. Recently, as many of you know, the national summit that was held here in Cape Town, where more than 250 municipalities signed pledges to institutionalize fighting corruption. And more particularly, that all of those municipalities committed to developing their own anti-corruption and fraud prevention strategy. And Salvo will be assisting those municipalities in the coming years to develop those strategic strategies themselves. Now, the progress on this area is that generally we have seen improved oversight and accountability mechanisms in municipalities. Emphasizing generally, of course, with exceptions. Again, the establishment of impact in all municipalities to improve institutional systems and internal controls is not something to be talked about. I think it's an important achievement. A significant increase in the number of prosecutions and convictions for fraud and corruption across the previous government, including in municipalities. Increasing efforts towards professionalization of the sector. Particular regulatory initiatives covered and forthcoming that have been indicated by the department in their response to some of the questions. And the 50 municipalities, as I've been saying, in developing how to make fraud and corruption strategies and policies we will be doing. And I think some of the key outcomes are we need to acknowledge that the sector came together and has really collectively agreed to intensify the fight to combat the surge of fraud, corruption, and maladministration, including through a revised anti-corruption strategy for local government that we will be rolling out this year. We need to further strengthen our institutional mechanisms and processes, including the use of information technology, to minimize the opportunities for corruption and maladministration. And why I put the emphasis in terms of impact, internal audit, committees and the relationship between those, that we very much take a governance approach to combating corruption. If we strengthen our institutional systems and our oversight structures, then you minimize the opportunity for corruption and the ability to undertake corruption. So certainly this is an area of support that we will be identifying from the coming year. And of course, identifying support in terms of appointment of qualified and skilled officials to work in the capacity of counselors. And I will focus a little bit on the role that we play in terms of capacity on the counselors. First of all, the promotion of sound financial management. The NEC of Solgay has recently adopted 27 financially intelligent municipalities to provide hands-on support to work on the outcomes. Dedicated portfolio by training, being provided to counselors in that area that contributed to and participated in the development of credit control and data management policies. Salva facilitate the proposed implementation of the New York Council standards. And of course, also led by example, by citing a clean audit or unqualified audit that no matter the thing, otherwise known as a clean audit, for 2012 and 2013. And so we certainly believe that we are in a position to assist the sector, which is safe. With regard to the discipline and multidisciplinary support to improve for the outcome, as I've indicated, that number is 27 or 25. And we are particularly engaging with the private sector as well in terms of how we can collaborate to ensure that we meet effectively four pillars of support that we have put in place, particularly the executive coaching at the leadership level, the governance, so the areas of public financial management, and the institutional capacity that the audit general could support. I'm not going to focus on the slide, I think, really just to say that 27 municipalities now have indicated that the NEC has adopted as leading assistance. We came from this engagement with 75 municipalities. Well, there has also been particular support provided by our internal audit unit in Salta to 33 municipalities across the provinces. Consulate training on oversight roles, finance, impact, finance, and so the portfolio by training for consulate training in collaboration with the other stakeholders of the state, as indicated. And then also we have Salta Municipal Finance Week, a workshop, and focus on credit control, improved financial management, as well as audit outcomes in general. So we think the collective impact of all of this is quite important and should take hold in the forthcoming or in future audit outcomes that were announced on the part of the SEC. Now, this on the view of the equitable share formula, we both the Department of Corporate and Governance and Treasury reflect on the view of the share and also the FFC. But we just wanted to indicate what some of the changes are with the new formula structure and how municipalities with higher numbers of poor receive highest allocations, and that this new formula allocation reflects the revenue rate capacity of different municipalities. So it has had quite a sizable impact in the sector, and that is just a snapshot of what that would mean. In terms of the income voluntary increases, of course, we know from last year that there was a proposed consultation on the income from the tariff from 2 to 8%, and Salta, of course, vehemently lobbied in that approach that this should not be allowed on the basis of the implications that we have. Finally, it was agreed to 8%, and this slide is just indicating basically the savings that our members have experienced as a result of Salta. And lobbying efforts with in the dairy sector. And the same with the supply. Now, with regard to human capital management, a center for leadership and governance was adopted by the Salga NEC as an initiative that Salga actually undertake. The center was further endorsed by the sector at the conference, the Human Resource Management Conference, which took place in 2013. The result of an integrated approach towards global leadership in local government, and it's borne out of the recognition that we have gone to measure for only 50 lives who are able to follow effective leadership. The research team has been appointed, and the point to make is that unlike the school of government, endorsed by the Lama, the Salga Center for Leadership has local government senior managers and political leadership that is covered for you. So it's a very particular, with very particular team level government and I had local government rather than in general. The research based on or research on service based wages and salary agreements was included in April 2012. The impact of that certainly was adequately prepared for self-sufficient during negotiations, and on 27th July, as many of you noted, a collective agreement of salary and wages was included. So it resulted in a much more stable sector with a percentage of the previous. And we think that's a significant achievement in terms of the support that we've been able to give to our members to ensure that there's a sound collective agreement in place and sound labor relations in the role of the sector. I'm not going to focus on the others, just to say that SALGA nominated, or certainly we have also been looking for motivation for our participation at the EDLAC and the ILO, and the state. The intent of that is to really make sure that the views and opinions of the local government are taken into account and the ILO. Capacity building, this is perhaps an area that is well known with regards to SALGA's intervention, support intervention in the sector. But it doesn't seem the number of counselors and officials that have been placed with, the nine provinces, the number of provinces, the number of provinces. Now, just breaking that down, per area, the council induction program, 8,808 councils, total that are through the council induction program, and of course, the partners around the table, the four players, the key roles, executing the program. Local democracy and local governance learning program. It focuses on leadership development, peer learning, and experiential exposure to municipal leaders within the areas of local democracy and governance. It's targeted particularly at politicians, senior politicians, and officials at the local, as well as more members of local government structures. And in total, 20 municipalities that participate. There is a national and bond certificate in municipal governance, developed by the Town of Management and Governance at the University of Johannesburg in cooperation with SALGA and the local government leader. And those are some of the outputs that that program has realized. Local government, local labor relations management, and local labor force training program is to ensure that leaders charged with labor relations management at the local level by power that the necessary knowledge. Skills and capacity to engage ministry on the management of labor relations in the sector. And a total of 997 leaders have been placed on that period. And with regard to the overall, the University of Fort Dare also, in collaboration with us, offers a specific program for counseling and development to improve the academic qualifications of the counselors and to enable them to achieve a higher quality. So it's very similar to the portfolio based capacity building that I indicated earlier. Based on the portfolio that has helped to find themselves or herself in, and then offering the students and program for them. The exit leadership and governance program, particularly in the state, 24 municipalities have participated in this program targeted at the leaders and senior officials. Identified experience in leadership and governance challenges. The program has recently been launched with a workshop that is conducted for 21 January last week to follow the offer by the program of Kumalanga and President and obviously supported by the local government. Now, practical working programs awaiting funding from the local government in 2008. Your further proposals for how we think we can support our members to strengthen their capacity for their health. And the first one is the Government Leadership and Coaching Program. The extension of the program referred to previously, but targets specific municipal leadership development and coaching. The portfolio-based counseling development program has indicated that that has been done in certain areas, but we feel it needs to be strengthened across the board in all portfolios. Media liaison and communication program for municipal leaders, typical test flight program aimed at developing leaders to improve media and communication skills, particularly of reasons identified during the Talga National Assembly at the end of the day. And then the establishment of Talga Center for Leadership and Governance, as I indicated. Previous slide is now subject to the finalization of the challenge of the so we hope that this will be up and running. Lastly, the Competition Commission investigation is whether it's in a matter to explore the feedback. I think members have picked up the issues and talk have been quite local in the media of the members. But essentially decided that we have time to assist our members to recover the losses that they have incurred as a result of the bid review. Or as we expect there to be the corruption that took place during the bid review process. And to ensure that municipalities are compensated for the losses that have occurred. And we are currently going to the project, and we are currently awaiting the certification by the tribunal of the settlement agreement, and then use these to further action against the construction firms that are guilty of collusion. The particular amounts are obviously difficult to quantify, but we have already given an indication to the tribunal of what those amounts are. So that is a snapshot of generally the kind of hands-on direct support that we provide to our members. I have not touched before on those that we use collaboration with our partners, but merely to indicate some of the key activities that we will see in the support process that we undertake to benefit our members. Now, obviously, MedLife, it's important for us to know what value we bring to the sector. And it's critical for us to measure the sector satisfaction with our support programs. And we did the benefits that some of the very positive feedback. Tonga has our support initiatives. They highlighted that we are visible, that they never are responsive to their needs and our support is high value. And they further indicated that their support is particularly needed to technical support and outcome savings. The technical support being referred to here is also in collaboration. Our members were quite excited about the support that we provided. But of course, we will continue to strengthen our support of the sector in key topic areas, in particular, getting the executive leadership and governance coaching and academy knowledge. So, with that said, I hope that it's been a snapshot of some of the issues, and I'll hand back to Dr. Nawaz to wrap up.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Nawaz. Members, take questions for clarity for both the National Treasury and the Salga. And in the interest of time, those who have got questions, please go direct to your question. Hello, Michelle.
Thanks, Chairperson. The point that one has picked up with pressure is that interventions take long to take effect. But the treasury then taking this into effect when they do the necessary advice in their necessary meetings of management, because the min-max, whatever it can be called, in all the meetings, is this what you are proposing or indicating or clarifying? Because why I'm saying that, Chairperson, is that support, I'll repeat, support are made every day. Every day we are crafting a support. You sit in a meeting, you sit in some other party meeting, whatever it is called, when you get out there, somebody is proposing or a support to be made, and resources must be put into that support. But now, as far as you have got the experience, you saying it takes long. Why are we every day then creating support? And then the other thing is the technical support that we may be talking about in relation to MISA, relation to yourselves as well in finance. All your people that are deployed in the municipalities, they get absorbed into tenders. When they get to municipality, your MISA's engineer or technician then gets in assisting the municipalities to put tenders and get absorbed and co-opted into that. They don't get in there and propose, you know, it's a road rehabilitation program or water services or whatever, rehabilitation of schemes. They don't do those things. When they get there, they want to release, they put up a project for MIG. From there, then they change the tender. You see, these are the problems that in the municipalities they happen. And unfortunately, we deploy even junior technicians. But then they are taken as technical experts when they are not. But, I mean, this is the thing that we just need to really talk to. The decisions that sometimes we take as treasurer, when you hold on the fund, and some of the decisions are short-term decisions, which, not short-term, shortcut decisions, are waiting to take the correct decisions. As the chairperson has indicated, you know, I think we have got years now talking about, we crafted the term, I think, about 4 or 5 years back, Troika, as the main problem in the municipality. Challenges related to Troika, it was crafted a couple of years back. But even today, we have not solved that problem. And then, knowingly, that the problem is between the mayor and the municipal manager, or speaker and the mayor, or the chief whip and the speaker, or whatever. And then that affects the municipality. Then instead of taking that decision to deal with that, then we go and hold funds and close up the whole shop. And then I think that is what we just needed to do. I think also we are really celebrating the establishment of audit committees, internal audit structure. It is a thing that we must talk about. But the more serious thing is, what are their effects? What are their effects? Is there anybody in this municipality who's worried about the report of an audit committee or an internal audit? Is there anybody who's worried about their report? And is council looking at them? And what is the relationship of this audit, internal audit and the audit committee, to the audit outcome of the municipality? What's the relationship on them? I mean, we have celebrated that we created these structures going through, and then we have got all the structures, but this municipality is getting a disclaimer every year, showing that those structures then are useless. Much the same as appointing the CFOs and all that, we celebrate having appointed or deployed CFOs to the municipality. But the financial situation of the municipality in terms of administration doesn't change. We have got a new, with a BCom degree, claim that he was working for ESCOM, you know, for so many years. You appoint him, yes, properly qualified. But the municipality doesn't change in terms of financial management. Still goes the same direction. But these are the things that we are actually trying to raise and to ensure that we really have a change on how the thing should be done. The movement of graduates, of course, is that since years, we all know that engineers in a local government are not paid properly. We know that, and we are not talking to you. We are worried about the turnover of the engineers and the technical staff. You have got a technician today, chairperson, coming into a municipality, spends 6 months, he's earning 6,000 rand or 7,000 rand a month. And then the guy then is working with a service provider who's a consultant, who wants a technician, and he wants to pay that technician 15,000 rand a month, and give him money to buy a BMW 320 tomorrow. So the guy's gone. I mean, we don't need to bark at the wrong tree. Sometimes we must be realistic. We know that they are not paid correctly. Hence, that's why when they come to local government, it's a stepping stone to identify service providers in their sector, and then they jump in there. And what is very nice is that when they jump into this service provider, the municipality again employs that company, and the guy comes back now as a consultant the next day. So these are the things that we should talk to. And of course, is that what I said about the audit committee, it goes, I'm sure I'll repeat it, the MPEP. I still want to know somebody to explain to me how we expect the MPEP to make a difference in a municipality. If they can't make the difference at council, because they've got the same responsibility. At council, they've got the same responsibility. Then we just, they are not assisting us in terms of holding the mayoral committee accountable for anything. Now we pick 1, 2, 3, there are 4, we say they are MPEP. What difference can they make? I still want somebody to explain to me in practical terms how will they make the difference after being given another name called MPEP, but still being the same council member who can't hold anybody in the municipality accountable. And then, I've heard this from Salga that you fight corruption, you know it. But I still want to know how you do that. Because surely you're almost like a union of this municipality. You are a consequence of this municipality. And you are actually defending this municipality. That's a job, I think, the primary job that you are having. But municipalities are getting corrupt, some of them, to an extent that they get rejected by their own constituencies. Salga doesn't say anything. Yes, now we are saying something because of those companies that were building the stadiums, because they are outside the municipality. They are robbing the municipality. But when a municipality misbehaves against its own constituents, is Salga having any teeth? When reports, forensic reports, are commissioned by the municipality in relation to certain tendencies, is Salga prepared then to say, Municipal X, you got a report that says, like the one in Matthew that we have been talking about, that the report was abnormal. Is Salga having teeth to force that municipality to make sure that they implemented the content of the report? Surely it is going to be problematic because it is your members that must defend. You can't fight it. And then, but now, how do you fight corruption? Then that, I think, I will need to understand exactly what sort of teeth do you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure. I just want to focus on one thing, and that's the integrity of government is represented by institutions representing government. And I think the one province that we have been dealing with has failed because Treasury has failed. So appealing to Treasury, National Treasury, to monitor the provincial and local government treasury finance departments. Because that is the key to pick up early things that goes wrong. And then it's good to hear about the pledges that have been signed, but coming back to the integrity of the state, it's also good for Salga and government workers to sign pledges that they won't use government vehicles and government printing and government resources for the election, because you talk about separation of power. And we need to lead by example in doing that. And Salga must promote that. My colleague Nectar spoke about the losing the skills in technicians, but I want to caution also that we must look at the budget of staff versus the budget of service delivery. There are some municipalities where the budget goes to 65% or even more. Then there's hardly any money left for service delivery. So it's just about ourselves, what more can I get in terms of the representation by the unions that's there. I think so. Treasury, and I've said it a few times, must start to give guidance in terms of laying a foundation that unions must know, workers must know, staff, that a budget of a municipality is there for service delivery. and the people are ready to deliver the service. But if the people start, the workers and the unions start to compete against their budget or how much they can get out of the budget, there's no money for service delivery, and therefore some municipalities are struggling to deliver that service, and then the people are standing up. And the same with the census of 2011, reported in Treasury notes that there's urbanization, and therefore the budget must be adjusted so that these metros can deliver on to the people that's affected by urbanization. The metros are struggling because the budget goes to the province where the people come from, but the people are in Gauteng, in Cape Town, in Port Elizabeth. The people are there, but the budget goes to the other province where they come from. So we must look at what the law changes say and how the budget must be restructured or adjusted to accommodate where the people are for the service delivery. And then my last point, Chair, I think the session is important. It must continue. Though we have differences of opinion, but I think we are learning from each other and we support because we are in the same, we are for the same reason, and that's to serve our people and to serve the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. Perhaps just to deal with the last question first, to try and assist. There's a process underway to look at the equitable share, the allocations over the medium term based on the last census results, which talks about migratory patterns as well. It brings a number of those factors into play. In fact, tomorrow there's a meeting of the TCF that's made up of the heads of Treasury, generally trying to discuss and conclude with some recommendations to the Budget Council shortly. So yes, there are some issues. However, there are definitely teething problems in the process as well. Because with that change, there's going to be losers as well. So some provinces may lose, other provinces may gain on this process. So it's a transitioning process. I think we understand how the appropriations are taking place. So that's one big process that's currently underway. I think the issue around budgeting and staffing versus service delivery is the right points to make, and we've been making this at various budget engagements. Now, when we did analysis of municipal budgets, there's also other factors that you need to bring to bear. Possibly, when you look at the budget analysis and budget numbers coming through, not all municipalities have the same powers and functions. So if a municipality has water and electricity as a bulk service function, its proportion of salaries is roughly around 30%. Now if that municipality, like a district municipality in most instances, who don't have these big powers and functions, you will find their salary component about 60 to 70%. Now, years back, that was restricted when the Joint Services Board legislation was in place and the RSC levies legislation was in place. There was a pegging of the levels of salary components. At that time, districts were meant to put at least 40 to 50% of the resources into infrastructure. And that changed when the two acts were repealed. So the whole system from the legal framework side changed. And hence you see what you're seeing now with the changes in or the loosening up of various controls and various milestones and measures put into municipal budgets and a system of controls where a much greater autonomy has been given to municipalities to decide how to appropriate resources. So that change has come with certain challenges as well. So I think we have picked up the issues, but we're expressing those points quite starkly in the budget circulars and stuff that you see going out. The other issue around trying to get to monitor the treasuries more closely, our intergovernmental section on budgeting actually doing that. One of the TCF engagements talk to the levels of spending, levels of allocations, and so forth. But again, you know, with the provinces and the system of budgeting as it is, there's a lot of autonomy in the province as well. Then decide. There's not major conditions attached. But we'll take this back to the other colleagues and the matters that you've raised, Honourable. The other member, Honourable Australia, has raised a number of the points that I think we've been grappling with for a number of years now. And interventions in some cases take long, like in the New York case that we pointed out. But in other cases, the interventions can be quick, depending how severe the intervention is required. In some cases, a whole council has been. If you look at the Australian example, when a municipality goes under financial distress or any other distress, the times that we were there, at the stroke of a pen, a municipality can be dissolved. So looking at the frameworks we have in place in which we have to work with, intervention has to be followed in that specific way. So if there's drastic changes that Parliament sees and needs to make, then we need to make those drastic changes if we want to see design outcomes. It's a very tough thing to do within our constitutional framework, though, because when we looked at it, brought in Chapter 13 of the MFMA, and some honorable members were there at the time, you would know that it was a real grapple to have a constitutional amendment. In fact, 139 and 238 was the amendment brought about in the Constitution to give effect to Chapter 13. And so forth. So there's other related issues that we need to take care of and follow those due processes, which we do expect. And it's something that we need to work towards. Yes, the support measures in many instances are stopgap measures. You could see it when we get to a meeting, and you're absolutely right to kind of raise it that way. People wake up on a Sunday evening and decide on Monday morning, we need some sort of program to address this. And everyone jumps into getting that. So if we keep changing our supports every 5 years or every 3 years, we're going to be forever in the same tailspin cycle of trying to do things differently. And also, hopefully, in some cases, we are succeeding. So we're taking stock of where we've come from. I think we've learned from the mistakes. So the MISA program, the DDSSN, the matching program, the MFID program, the other support measures, as you we're trying hard to coordinate these initiatives. Honourable members, I can also mention that when we get to the coordination meeting, not everyone's quite honest in that coordination meeting to say this is what we are putting in place here and this is what we are planning to put in 3 months' time. Come 3 months' time to the next quarterly meeting, you find five different similar interventions in place, or one unraveling the other. You do find that. That's what we're trying to address with the colleagues. Now, where do you get this funding from to do this? So maybe we need to talk to the committee that deals with appropriation to figure out how the system can be handled better. Because there's maybe a duplication in the system, could be double dipping, but of course municipalities also benefit from it. We like to see support from all sides. And it's happened in some instances where that has happened. So wherever we find this happening, we try and address it by withholding support. Sorry, you have support already? Thank you. We won't work in this area. And then the practical example, just to share with you, when we went to municipalities to discuss the issues around support for financial statements, we found that municipalities had already contracted people to prepare their financial statements. So we said, now, you wanted support through the MFIP. Can the MFIP advisor at least help you in manage that contract? No, hands off. That's a contract we've been made. We said, that's fine. That's no problem. So all MFIP advisors were told, you will not be involved in any supply chain initiatives. Neither will you manage contracts of a municipality, because you then can be accused of interference in that contract. So we were very careful, but it also comes with the risks that you rightfully have pointed out. So there's bigger challenges in how some of these programs are actually actually unfolding. Who vouches for that in the end? People will say, government put in so much of programs, and look at the results. Where do we find the accountability to? So these challenges are real, and they're there, and I can sympathize with others, but also agree with what you have said around some of these challenges. But there are some. They're not in all instances. Where people have changed, it has happened. Honourable members, I'm almost completing. There's the short-term measures to avoid decisions. I think we've discussed that. The establishment of audit committees and structures. We brought the audit committee structure in the MFMA and the internal audit structures were enough to deal with the governance and other type of decision-making arrangements, which will be objective advice given to councils. Now, what was found is that there needed to be a similar as a SCOPA structure that you see in national and provincial legislatures. So the impacts were then created. Now, out of this, we have a different difficulty in decision-making structures. So if the recommendations are made by these committees, it is expected, and the guidelines showing them, that the councils will take those recommendations and force action to be taken. That's again the government's arrangements and municipalities. So we are forever beholden to those that have been elected to serve. Thank you. I think honourable members, if this just some of them, I'm not going to tackle the SAGA role. I think they will speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Chair, I might want to start with the role of the employee cards. I think we have indicated that the problems couldn't go together. And as part of our intervention, we did develop guidelines for the office level. So what is the role of the and of the mayor. But as you would know, that SAGA is made up of politicians who come from different parties. So part of the role is of SAGA is to have generate guidelines, policies, and interface with political parties in relation to what is the problem of local government. In that, you feed into a policy response on what needs to be done. So the issue about guidelines and engagement that municipalities are paralyzed by power relations within the state, and usually also the party coming in. The example is that we went to Nelson Mandela to do engagement with SAGA. We would have gone to Sibibe in the city, in the county. We have gone to some provinces and we have activated the provincial offices of SAGA to pick up interest on the problems that exist between political problems that we face that are about the different roles of political systems. So we are not aloof from that discussion. And therefore we don't say to ourselves we only represent members and we are not interested in resolving the problem. The formation of MPEG, I'm so treasury has made a point. If the effect of that, you would have known that in the last year auditor general's report, there has been an improvement in this practice. And we can only associate that with the formations of MPEG. They are beginning to find this truly that they are still immature building up, but for certain we can begin to see the benefit of those structures. An example is that almost all municipalities in the country were able to submit their financial report. And that's a fact that you will see. But again you'll see that there's a sense of improvement. And the chair allowed me not to go back that generally, municipalities, this takeover of officials and politicians, we start as scratch every time. And that impacts on how you build the capacity of municipalities in the way that they will be able to respond. And that also helps us to undo the fertile ground for corruption. which links to the summit that we've just had, that part of the image of municipalities across the country are about corruption. Perhaps some of the perceptions created that municipalities are not functioning because of corruption. And that has gone down to the entire communities, and that's why you see protests. So the response of the leadership of Sanga is they took office in 2000 as part of the issues to deal with the image of the municipalities for local governments. And profile as far as that is able to provide proper services to the community. So the essence of putting up the summit, firstly, it was to ensure that we build that community awareness that municipalities are not about corruption. Invite all officials of government to sign the pledge. But at the core of it, the fight is to create integrity systems within local government. And our view is that the distortions and the weak systems create the federal government for corruption. And the best way to respond to that is to create proper systems. And therefore, our multi-sectoral approach to deal with corruption is that how do we mobilize all the spheres of government to be part of the fight, but equally to get organs of civil society to be part of the program and the private sector to say together we can fight the corruption. And that's where we have seen our input in relation to the competition act that we've referred to. So, Chair, I think largely what we want to indicate is that we are responding, we have become relevant in how we want to respond to the problem that are facing these communities. A part of our engagement is the story of our takeover to the different political parties that were able to build the capacity of the municipalities, because every 5 years we have 70% of new people that we must start to scratch. The difference that National Treasury has made a point that there would be a number of people who migrate from smaller rural municipalities that are extremely affected. And Sanga also is in the process of saying how do we respond to retain skills and talents in rural municipalities, because part of the problem is that people are mobile, and therefore when they move to areas where they think there's a good infrastructure, we run a risk that the capacity runs away. And in our study, you can get a sense that the bigger problems of municipalities rest in those rural small municipalities, and therefore the issues that how do we respond to the problem. So that's where I'm saying we are committed to ensure that we fight against corruption is laid out, and therefore we don't necessarily represent wrongdoing. We should be the first to save any persistence from the state or distort service delivery in terms of fraud or corruption. We should be able to provide a better responsibility as a I'm sure that's the issue that we raise about corruption.
Thank you very much. Madam Majid, any comments on the two presentations?
Yes, sir. Just something from an earlier discussion on the demarcation matter. Just to say that the minister is currently taking under consideration the report of the demarcation review task team. They have concluded their work, and there's some internal considerations and discussions happening with the minister about that report. So we will hear next moves from the minister on that. Also, the comment in relation to Salva's presentation in particular is that, just for the committee to note, that our minister, in collaboration with the Minister of Higher Education, in the process of setting up a local government institute. There's a partnership, a task team that's been established, of which SOLGA and other OAS will form part of, the DB, Department of Public Service and Administration, Department of Monitoring in the Presidency as well, and it's a multi-stakeholder engagement to look at how we bring greater complementarity and coordination together with the work of the School of Government, as well as nuancing the work of the School of a Local Government Institute, and that which Salga and other players are doing. We're working very closely with the local government CETA as well to unlock a number of initiatives that Salga have reflected on as well. So it relates to the first question that the member asked of FHC in the morning around how we can bring greater resources to bear for more counselor training. So there's a great effort to look at intensifying significantly counselor training in partnership with SALGA, the local government, CETA and others, in what remains for the next local government elections, and to then have a more medium to long term program for counselor development on an ongoing basis, so that we, you know, go for depth and looking at where counselors are at different levels of their journey over this 10-year period of the life of local government in the country. Those were some of the specific things that I just wanted to pick up.
Thank you very much, ma'am. That will bring us to the end of the members. I think it's been helpful to get this presentation, and I would like to close by saying we would expect at some point that perhaps moving forward the department to do more in terms of coordinating all this type of intervention so that there is more duplication happening, and all these interventions begin to yield some lasting solutions in this particular municipality. You'd also realize that apart from the four of you who have presented here, you have got interventions by provincial departments, got interventions by Department of Water Affairs, interventions by Department of Minerals and Energy, and so forth and so forth. ESCOM also playing role in municipalities. So there are kind of many interventions that are given to municipalities. But when we expect equal results, we all agree that the results cannot be equated to the kind of intervention that you're talking about. So either it's a problem of coordination or it's a challenge of capacity, as the name says. Or the people who are being employed in this position simply don't want to do their job, simple as that. I'm not sure which one is it, but there is a challenge at the level of the district. And we all of us want to see some kind of improvement. Interventions that parliamentary committees are doing, provincial legislatures are doing, all to try to get the result. But year in, year out, we complain about the same thing. Interventions that the Office of the Auditor General is doing, is decided to play a hands-on role in municipalities by making sure that we come part and parcel of them doing this and that and that and that. But still, at the end of the day, we are all complaining. I hope that the submissions today and all other submissions by parties that are not here will assist parliamentary committees. I'm referring to those who will be coming for the fifth parliament, ensuring that the next 5 years there's some kind of drive towards now talking of achievement as opposed to talking of interventions and things at that particular level. On that note, Honourable Member, please, thank you very much for your time. And we have come to the end of our meeting today, and this meeting is adjourned. And I thank you.
Bravo, Justino, bravo.